start getting refreshed.
Okay, we are rolling.
All right. Thank you. Today is Thursday, December 7th, 5:30 p.m. We're in the Veterans Hall. This is the regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. To get started, we'll establish a quorum and call to order. So I'll go through, Lori, if you wouldn't mind.
Member Myers?
Present.
Member Hansen?
Present.
Member Dowdy?
Here.
Member Green? Member Vail?
Here.
Member Witkowski?
Here.
Member O'Brien?
Here.
And you have a quorum.
Thank you, Lori. I'd like to take a few minutes, a moment in silence, as we get close to the end of the year, the holiday season, Thanksgiving and holidays. Have it pretty nice here. There's a lot of other places in the world nowadays that it's not very nice to be. Middle East, Eastern Europe, even some places in the United States aren't so nice. I'm just lucky to be here in Morro Bay. With that, just a few moments of silence. All right, thank you. Next up is Pledge of Allegiance. All right. Next up on the agenda, we'll start with the board member and liaison announcements. I'll start over with Mr. Gene. You look, give us some props over there.
Okay. Good evening. Couple three things here. I realize that the liar's bench has been gone and a plastic one's in its place. Whoever has the liar's bench, maybe you can donate it to the Maritime Museum. I'd appreciate it. My next question is that a Coleman Beach float is now gone. That's a very good float. It's very strong. I just hope it's repositioned and not just destroyed. And then thirdly, winter, we haven't had a winter activity on the bay yet. It's coming. But I brought in some show and tell. Basically, it has to do with the lines on the boat. There are no ropes on the boat except the bell rope. There's a lot of, as the boats are going back and forth, not only on the moorings, but on the slips, they're wearing all the time. And here's an example of a line going over the chocks of a boat. And if you can see, it's just about completely gone. So it needs chafing gear. And the best way to put chafing gear is to take a piece of fire hose and wrap it around or slide your line through the fire hose and either seize it off on one side or just use some duct tape to hold it. And that'll hold over it, and that'll give you really good chafing gear. And then on the other end of the mooring, if your boat is actually tied to a shackle, you need to put in a thimble, because if you just have a line going through there, they wear right out. Some people think that they can just double knot the line. But what happens is this was one of three panel lines that were going on the boat, and if you pull it apart, it's down to one strand practically. This boat had three panel lines. All three of them were completely down to one strand there. And then my last thing is my pet peeve with people who are cleaning on their boats. A line has a load line, and then it has a tail line. And if you start off with a load line and put it on the bottom, then you can go ahead and cleat it off, and it'll stay on, just like this. But if you start with the tail end and start wrapping it around, what happens is that you end up putting all your load line up on top, and then you can't get the cleat undone or the line back undone. And I can't tell you how many times we had to use a knife to undo a line. Yeah, it's a hatchet cleat right there. Okay, that's my say.
All right, thank you. Jeremiah?
Oh,
There we go. Good evening. Going to start off with a little mention, and I won't go too deep into it because perhaps Ted might go further into it. I'm not sure, but the Santa Monica Seafood is leaving the city as of the first of the year. They've been very, very generous over the past few years. I don't believe they've made any money in Morro Bay. When I say generous, I mean they have stuck it out here for quite a while. They are leaving because of a new rule from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The new rule dealt with a particular fish, a quillback rock cod, and they were afraid of overfishing on that particular fish. We have so they closed the fishery here. The live fish.
Are they around here?
No. So doing a little bit of research, the fishermen did attend the last meeting and showed them the records. They showed them their records that only 52 pounds were caught here in the last 20 years. And because of that, their initial reaction was to shut down probably a dozen businesses. So, meaning fish business, fishermen. So they said, okay, well, mistake, we're going to open it up. But they just don't know when. And they did indicate it won't be the first of the year. So consequently, you know, we've got a dozen boats and families out there with... let's put it this way, Santa Claus will not be coming to their house this year. So anyway, then I do hope everybody get out to the Embarcadero and saw on the South Tee Pier the Christmas tree the Harbor Department put up. Very, very nice. As a matter of fact, it's one of their more spectacular works, I think. Very good. And then the big special one here, Mark Tognazzini, won the boat parade. So we said that for the last few years, but he did a wonderful job again and was the best boat. So we need a few more boats and somebody to uncrown Mark there one of these years, but he did a great job. So that's it for us here. Thank you.
Thank you. Trees.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Okay, my announcements today have to do with some of my outreach with the Morro Bay Chamber. They have created the Morro Bay Chamber Foundation this year. It's a nonprofit. All donations are tax deductible, and they are going to... they have a website where you can donate. The things that they are going to, which I've been a part of for the last 2 years, are high school students getting money for higher education. And so this foundation primarily is to take people from the community and help them with their costs financially with higher education. It's a really great thing to be a part of. And so you can provide checks, or they even have a donate button on their website. At the Siren, they're going to have a New Year's Eve bash, and the Siren owners support underage thinking. And so there will be a donation jar at that event. And then also one thing that I'm doing individually is meeting with a couple of local leaders. And we're looking into missed opportunities for fisher folk, either by marketing strategies or market strategies. So in other words, having some kind of kiosk that says who's selling fish off their boats, or having a presence at the farmers market or different markets for them to be able to sell their wares. And so if any of them are out there that want to partake in that, we would love to hear from you. And we have financing available that could help some of that happen a little easier. So, and then also For our local Tidelands businesses, I just want to remind everybody that we have the stickers that you can put up at your business that say how your business gives proceeds to the harbor and to the safety and protection of the harbor. So if you want one of these, please contact the harbor office. They're available for you guys to pick up and put in your windows and just broadcast how much shopping on the Embarcadero really helps our harbor.
Thank you, Charisse. Chris?
I've been tied up with the Maritime Museum and not doing my homework around here. I apologize for that. But to update from the museum, of course, the Spanish Galley in San Salvador was here. It was a huge success. We put 10,500 people aboard the boat in 10 days. We're still licking our wounds. That was exhausting. And then we did the Family Fun Day again. And it was similar to last year. People had a blast. People came and stayed. Kids had a blast. It's set up in such a way that the kids don't have to be tethered to the folks. They can play and laugh and be kids and all that sort of stuff. And then a third development is our longtime, pretty much leader and treasurer, Bonnie Jones, moved to Arizona. I am not a treasurer. I am not an accountant. Guess who they gave the job to? So that's why I haven't been around much. Sounds like government, you're right. We do have somebody in line who's an ideal fit, so I think that situation will cure itself over time, slightly before I go nuts. And then a couple of things. Thank you for the idea on the bench, on the liar's bench. I'll get on it if you're not going to get on it. Let's see if we can find it. Let's see if we can find it. Also, Dickie Sylvester's Trudy S is coming down the road a ways, or down the bay a ways. We have space for it. And Morro Bay has granted us a 10-year lease on an additional piece of property adjacent to ours. We're in the planning stages and the concept money-raising stages to build another building and really finish the museum off. That's it from me.
Sure. I participated in both the Witch's Paddle and going to the Lighted Boat Parade and really thought that Morro Bay batted above our weight for both events and had lots of folks share feedback with me on those events and changes we could make to continue to make them enjoyable for out-of-towners. So I can share that. In addition, I attended the Cal Poly California Sea Grant Community Public Education Workshop on the offshore wind technology and wind development. I was excited to see our Harbor Advisory Board liaison, Councilwoman Zara Lundrum, there, as well as our mayor and Council Member Jen Ford. The second workshop for that is going to be held in February and March, and will be focused on socioeconomic issues associated with offshore wind development. And there will also be a third planned in April and May 2024 to discuss environmental issues related to offshore wind development. So we'll try to share out additional details on when and where those will be held, because I think this first one was not well publicized. For my updates.
All right, thank you, Mary. I don't have much in the way of outreach both last month. I've been focusing on getting the ad hoc stuff. So we have two papers here that we'll be reviewing here later in the agenda. We have another one that's ongoing that's not quite far enough along with the least information. But with that, we'll go ahead and move on to presentations. Oh, Zara, is there any other announcements that you'd like to make as our liaison? All right, put you on the spot. with that, we'll go ahead. We did have on the agenda an update on the Coleman Park improvements. Unfortunately, the Public Works Director, Craig, is out sick, so he will not be able to present. We'll postpone that and then hopefully have that on a future agenda item. Sometime in 2024. Next up is Bill, Friends of Morro Bay. He has a presentation he'd like to do about the fundraising opportunities.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, advisory board members. My name is Bill LaFay, and back in 2007, I became a Harvard advisory board member myself. I was on the Harvard advisory board for 9 years. I see two friendly faces up here, Gene and Jeremiah. But back when I was on the Harvard advisory board meeting, and I sat in 9 years, I had three goals. One was to start a nonprofit. One was to dredge the Back Bay Marina, and three, to get a boat haul-out facility. As you all know, I was only able to accomplish one goal, and that's the one I did myself. The other two, I'm not sure if they'll ever get accomplished in my lifetime. But given that is, as everyone knows, in the year 2014, we lost our funding from the power plant, and about that time I started a 501(c) nonprofit, and our intent was to provide supplemental funding for training, equipment, and services to support the Morro Bay Harbor Department. Back in 2015, we lost $250,000 a year in funding, and it wasn't replaced. So this was a way, I mean, by no means was my goal to raise $250,000. It was just to try to provide some funding for the Harbor Department that couldn't be met by the current budget. And over the last 10 years, we've raised approximately $250,000 for the harbor, from a $100,000 patrol boat down to, I just purchased three trash cans. If anyone has been down to Coleman Park, and you know, each trash can costs $1,795. But we didn't have any trash cans, and I hope that I can continue that path all the way down to the rock. I walk the rock every day. I go to the beach every day, and I wanted to also shout out, we are having a world-class surfing championship contest this weekend, and this week. It was actually canceled yesterday because of the high waves. They ran it for about 4 hours this morning, and they're hoping to get in the rest of it tomorrow and Friday. The Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department will have a booth there on Saturday, and so hopefully come down and see what our next things there. But over the last 10 years, our financial contributions have funded crucial projects, as I said, from the patrol boat to trash cans to a bike rack, tide books. We do the tide books now for the Harbor Department. We just finished doing another boating resource guide. And these are all things that probably wouldn't be funded by the current Harbor Department budgets. We refurbished all three lifeguard stands. We actually created Tower Zero right there at the Rock. Not that Gene was a big fan of that, but hopefully he is now. But we have Zero, One, and Two now, all look blue, not the faded blue that we had for many, many, many years. We did a permanent viewing station. We've done solar-powered emergency phone. I redid that one on the Sandsmith. So we've done a lot of work. We have a lot of good supporters in this community that support the Harbor Department, understand the importance of the Harbor Department, and understand about the finances. Our new goal right now is to actually fund a UTV, which is a utility task vehicle, for the lifeguards primarily. That goal is $40,000. I've already raised, I feel, already $20,000 in the last 3 weeks. And I'll be out there, as I say, probably with the UTV this weekend. Dana Stein's working on that for me right now. We can borrow the fire departments. And I sent out an outreach to a lot of people, and so we're continuing to try to fund that goal. The mission of the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department is to meet with the Harbor Department. I meet with Lori and Becca and Ted. They ask me to fundraise for certain projects and that's what I do. I'm a one-man band. I do it myself with Lori and Becca's help because I can get a lot accomplished, and I've been able to accomplish every task that they've asked me to do. So you have up there is your membership renewals. I know that two people have renewed, Cal and I believe Jeremiah, but if the other five could do that, that would be nice too to support ourselves. So do you have the slide for our new rescue UTV? I just want to share to the public that why we need a UTV, and go down to the Friends website, which is www.friendsofthemorrowbayharbordepartment.org. And Ted, do you have anything to say to with the public to share why the harbor feels a UTV is beneficial more so than a truck?
Yeah, thank you, Bill. So first of all, I want to thank Bill and Friends of the Harbor. I mean, it's an incredible organization, and the support that they provide us, we couldn't get done what we need to get done without their help. And in my time, I've seen the vessel, new vessel, you know, christened, the harbor office, and certainly the UTV. But the UTV is really important for the harbor. Right now, we're using a very large F-350 that has seen its end of life. Those vehicles that we've been using on the beach are not equipped to do the kind of rescue that we need. They're large. They're difficult to maneuver around beachgoers. Can't quite carry the equipment that we need. This new equipment not only gets us onto the beach, but it gets us around traffic during the summertime when we need to get from the harbor office to the beach and onto the beach safely. So it's an important part of our public safety, and quite honestly, public safety is the number one thing we do at the harbor. So any help is greatly appreciated there.
Okay, so does anyone have any questions from me? Cal? Anyone? Well, thank you very much, and good night.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again. Again, www.friendsofthemorrowbayharbordepartment.org. Oh, sure. If you have some comments you want to make, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. Well, I didn't have a question. I just had a comment, so I wasn't sure when it was appropriate. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that, to say thank you very, very much for such a great organization. And I remember very well when you formed that. And it was definitely a one-man band, and you've done an incredible, amazing job. And if there's whoever's listening here, please encourage everyone to join, get a membership to the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department, because it's our bay, it's our harbor department, and wouldn't be the same without them. So yeah, I encourage everybody to get a membership. Anyways, thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Any other comments? With that, we'll go ahead and open it for public comment. Purpose of public comment is to address harbor business matters that are not on the agenda. Any public comments here in the audience? Come on up.
Good evening, Chair Myers and Harbor Advisory Board members and fellow citizens. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm a resident of Morro Bay and a former HAB member as well, served with this gentleman behind me, with Bill, over a decade ago. So it's good to be here with you all. And I think, well, I said this before, you know, when I served on the HAB, I had jet black hair, Bill had dark hair, and Gene and Jeremiah looked exactly the same, and you guys still look the same. So I don't know how it is that you don't age, but we age, but God bless the two of you for being over at that end in our anchors. As a matter of fact, Gene, thank you for your presentation. And as a licensed captain, many people don't understand how a rope can become a line within a few minutes. So thank you for that. People at home can Google why there are no ropes on board a vessel, but ropes on the dock. I feel a little bit like Santa Claus. I want to hand out some gratitude and some thanks. First off, thank you to the Harbor Advisory Board for all you do. Having chaired the board and sitting up there for 4 years, I very much, and I'm a licensed captain and have captained several vessels out there for the last 15 years, so thank you for what you do. It's important work and often unnoticed. I also want to thank Bill LaFay and the Friends of the Harbor for the money that they've raised. He told me his idea over a decade ago, and kudos to you, Bill, for actually carrying it out and making it happen. As a matter of fact, I have to sign up now as an individual. My business supported it, but I sold the business back in summer, so we'll have to get on that. Also, the boat parade, as usual, was a lot of fun. Mary, you mentioned the boat parade. I had the privilege this year of announcing the boat parade from the yacht club, and for the last dozen years or so, I've been on the water piloting one of the vessels, so it was nice to be onshore, warm, and talking about it and announcing it. Jeremiah was one of our esteemed judges, and it was just a fun event, and it's a great small-town thing that we have here. And thank you to the Harbor Department, to Becca and Dana and the rest of the patrol officers for doing what they do, particularly that night. Again, being on the water, it can be a little bit of – there are a few moments of pandemonium out on the water, and Harbor Patrol keeps everybody safe and keeps order there. So thank you to the Harbor Department for that and our Harbor Patrol specifically. And more importantly – I did want to comment on something that's on your agenda. I'm going to cheat a little bit because I can't stay, and it's the very last item, is your recommendation from your ad hoc liability committee. I've lived in town for about 20 years now. My kids have gone through the school system here, graduates of junior guard, and they've jumped off of the T-pair. I've never done it myself. That I would admit to, but I have sat on the stern of the Papagallo for the last 12 or 13 years, and I've watched a number of people jump off the South T Pier. And the point that I want to make is that when they've done this, they do it outside of the navigable channel. They do it in the little bay there, in a safe environment. So I want to thank the recommendation of the ad hoc committee and encourage the advisory board to follow the recommendation to allow that rite of passage that so many children and now adults in Morro Bay have partaken in. It's not dangerous. It's not harmful. It's something that we as a little beach town still can do. So I appreciate the recommendation of the Ad Hoc Liability Committee and urge you to follow that recommendation. So, again, thank you for all you do. I love your little Christmas hats. Merry Christmas to everyone.
And don't be jealous.
And I am jealous. And thank you for the work that you do again. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I have a comment. In fairness to ropes, there's a bolt rope, which is sewn on the luff of a mainsail and rides up the mast in a slot. There's, of course, the bucket rope. Because when you toss the bucket overboard, you don't want to go with it. You want to bring it back. And there's the bell rope. Bells don't ring without bell rope. That's for the ropes on a vessel. Everything else is a line.
Thank you for that clarification, Chris. With that, we'll move on to, oh, I'm sorry, AGP, is there anybody on the line, on the phone?
Councilman Cowell, there's nobody on Zoom at the moment.
You just say there's no hands raised. Don't
no
rush
hands
me
raised.
Like that. Thank you, AGP. With that, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I would like to have anybody wants to pull anything? Can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anybody aye. Opposed? All right. Consent agenda.
Did I hear
Gene, did you? You did, okay.
We were sharing a microphone. All right. Any public comment on any of the? Do we have to do public comment on the approved consent? Any public comment on the consent agenda? All right. We'll go ahead and move on to business items. First up is B1, Harbor Director Departmental Updates.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. So I'll give you my regular update on several items, and I may add one or two additionally as I just wrote some notes down. Regarding offshore wind, back in early November, several of us attended a Zoom workshop for AB 209. That is the legislation that has authorized $45 million in grants available to the CEC to fund ports and harbor infrastructure. So the city has been very active in making requests and making our recommendations. What we're waiting on is for the CEC to determine how that grant is going to be written. We don't know yet at this point. We just know that there's $45 million that's going to be available. So we're going to continue to push not only the state, but the federal agencies and the county regarding funding. The city is planning its trip to D.C. again in February. During that trip, we typically go and talk with the agencies regarding our dredging needs. But in addition to that, we take that advantage and talk to all the agencies regarding offshore wind and other opportunities for the city. So that's going to occur again in February. And just some activity that's occurred in the last month or two. Equinor followed up with their initial request to look at Morro Bay as a potential facility for their M&O facility, and all they're doing at this point is more or less keeping in touch with us, and there's really no follow-up that's going on with that. We had another conversation or a meeting with Brian Sabina. He's a consultant in the offshore wind industry as we begin looking for individuals who can support our city as we navigate through this process. I mean, we don't have ourselves anyone who is expert in understanding all the requirements and all the environmental issues and fishing issues and everything else that goes along with it. So we're looking to develop, whether it's a consulting team or an internal team of individuals who can help us navigate that. And then just a couple of days ago, I had another conference with Jouet Matello, another consultant from Europe who plans to be in this market and also get involved in the offshore wind industry. So we'll just continue to, you know, look into all of the particular individuals who could potentially help us, and hopefully we'll come away with something that will help us. Regarding the harbor dredge, I don't really have any update. As far as I know, still at this point, we'll be seeing just the normal dredge in the spring, and then the $14.5 million that was already appropriated will still be available for the following year to dredge all the way back. Regarding our budget and revenues, I have been following it. You know, we're about 6 months into the budget year. We look like we're on target. I'll tell you, it's very difficult for us to project because a lot of our revenue doesn't come in until the end of the year. So we can certainly track our expenses, but it's really difficult to know if we're on target for our revenue until the year ends. But just based on history, I would say we're right on target to where I believe we're going to be at the end of the year. Other harbor budget items, I'm very thankful that the Morro Bay Commercial Fishing Organization has already sent us the $100,000 that they had granted towards us, so we actually have that in the bank, ready to spend it, and thank you very much for that. Our vehicle replacement that was budgeted this year, we're expecting delivery any day, so that's another upgrade that we hope to see real soon. The $50,000 fire system for the patrol vessel 69 was just completed, so that vessel is back in service. We're happy to see that. Let's see what else. Something I didn't have on my notes, but I'm going to mention it anyway, and that's regarding events. So I created quite a stir this week when I had our department send the World Surf League an invoice for our expense of having overtime and personnel to support the event, only to learn that they were given, I guess, authority to do the event free of charge, possibly years ago. I don't know. We're still working through that. We have actual expense when these events go on, and in my opinion, the harbor is not a volunteer to organizations. We certainly want events at the harbor and at the city. It's good for both of us, but we're not a volunteer in those cases, so we're going to be looking towards at least recovering our employee expenses when events are occurring. Regarding infrastructure, and I've been talking about the DBW grant that has been in the works for the last at least over a year for the boat ramp replacement. I've told you about some of the obstacles we've run through with DBW again, and just recently learned again that in order to meet the new requirements again, we would need to spend an additional $300,000 just in consulting fees to get there. So that project is on hold, at least for this year. We are going to be looking into another option of just replacing the surface of the boat ramp as an option and not getting into all of the other issues that are creating, you know, so much expense and so much consulting and engineering costs. So I will keep you, you know, abreast of that. The T-Pier, I think, let's see, I can't remember if the last meeting in October, if we had finished the report at that time, but the report, was it in, I'm sorry? No, you cannot drive on it anymore. We have received the report. It is in pretty serious condition, not only structurally, but electric power underneath is in terrible condition, and those are real safety issues that have to be dealt with. So the decision has been made to do another underwater inspection of all the pilings. That will give us the full picture again. And I know a lot of this was done 10 years ago, but it's amazing what damage has occurred in 10 years, and we need to know what the current situation is. And our plan is to complete that study prior to the February trip to Washington, D.C., and be able to include those expenses in another request to Congress for funding. Let's see, Beach Street dock replacement. And I had told you that we have been looking at that for months now. That project is not possible. The amount of money that's funded for that project isn't possible to complete a dock replacement. My recommendation is that the project be stopped and that the funds that are left available in that project be re-diverted to the T-Pier for its needs and to the maintenance of the commercial fishing docks that are being worked on right now. So we're going through that process right now and looking to re-divert those funds, but it's just not possible to replace that one dock system. Part of that has to do with the power supply that's available to that dock right now and what it would cost to bring in new power. Was there a question?
Yeah, so Ted, you'll be looking to replacing that in the future.
Correct. We'll be looking, and thank you for the question. We'll be looking to do a complete repair of that dock as we are with the other docks, as opposed to doing a complete replacement at this point. So the funds that are available now, the $200,000 from the city and the $100,000 from commercial fishing, as well as some of the funds that are in that account, would be used to make certain that that dock is repaired to the same degree that all of the other docks are being repaired at this point. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Are we talking about the Beach Street docks?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, the commercial fishing dock repair project started in October and is slowly being worked on by Associated Pacific right now. And just a little update on the insurance claim. There's not a lot of activity that's been going on. There's been additional discussions with FEMA and our insurance company, and I really don't know the status on that, that there's been any change to that. Just from my brief encounters regarding FEMA, you know, it just seems less and less likely that there would be any funding, but I can't say for certain how that's going to go. Parking, as you know, a presentation to council was made, and there was a recommendation that the Coastal Commission be contacted regarding paid parking at the Rock. That was done recently, and the Coastal Commission appears to be in support of a program. Obviously, they're going to need more information, but they seem interested in allowing that to proceed. So we'll see where that goes. That's not a project that we're leading. That's a project that's being led by Public Works and Planning and the Police Department. Regarding current leaseholder activity, quite a bit of activity going on right now. Closed session next week. We'll be taking Bayfront Marina. We'll be taking Three Stacks. We will be taking Morro Bay Fish Company, as you mentioned, and trying to determine a path so that we can still have a fish processor there, hopefully in the near future, and the Dutchman will also be going to closed session next week. And that's conclusion of my report. Be glad to answer any questions.
Jeremiah, you have another question for the harbor director?
Not a question, just a thank you, Ted. I know that finances are very, very difficult. Well, I do have a question. So with the federal money available, that money is available for places or ports that will be on the list for offshore wind. Is that correct?
Correct. It will be available to ports and harbors, my understanding,
not just to any, like Santa Barbara wouldn't be available for...
It has to do, I believe, with the study that the state has already done, which I believe was under AB 525. They did a port study, and there's been a number of ports and harbors that have been identified for different uses. So depending upon how your harbor has been identified, you would be available. So, and I don't know if Santa Barbara has been identified as a possible port or not.
Yeah, well, I guess what I was getting around to is we should be on the top of the list. So I was hoping that they would that we would see the T piers getting rebuilt.
I mean, I agree with you. I think the funding initially sounds like it's going to be driven towards planning and engineering and those types of activities, and then in the future, possibly for construction. But you're right, it should be, and in my opinion, Morro Bay is right, you know, in the bullseye for offshore wind for this market. We should be clearly on the top of their list, but, you know, we don't know how that grant is going to be determined. We don't know the requirements at this point yet, but hopefully we'll know soon.
There will be boats out there starting work in a couple of weeks. January is their plan. So I was just, I would think or hope they would avail themselves of Morro Bay. And when they start using the harbor, it's probably when they, you know, hopefully start thinking about rebuilding the docks here.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, for us to even be prepared to support offshore wind, you know, 10 or 15 years, whenever it is, planning needs to happen now. I mean, actually yesterday, so agree with you.
Thanks, Ted, yep. Very much.
Gene, you have any questions? Therese, go ahead.
Okay, it wasn't covered in your report, but this seems to be the best spot for me to ask this question. Before, when we did our agendas, if we had an ad hoc committee that was actively working on an item, we had a little status update agendized, and I know that the ad hoc committee that was created because of requests that came directly from council is not on the agenda, and I would just like to see if there's a way that we can get a status, because word on the street is that what they were asked to do might have changed a little bit or misunderstood, and I just want to know, as far as our board, what is the scope of work that that lease policy ad hoc committee is doing?
So we're waiting on them to complete their initial report. That's otherwise it would have been on the agenda, but it's taken a little bit longer than we anticipated. So I don't have an update to provide to you regarding what they're planning to submit or when they're planning to submit it. I mean, Cal, or I think, is it Mary that's on it also? I mean, if you want to chime in, you know, please do.
Sure. I can provide the update. The word on the street, there was a little bit of initially the miscommunication of the scope, working with the CFAC individuals. We didn't want to boil the ocean, and so there's the leasing process is pretty unique for the Embarcadero leaseholders, as you're well aware. So it took us a long time to get up to speed. We did ask for a lot of public information, did receive a lot of that. Once we got a good grasp of what the leases are and the discrepancies, not discrepancies, the individual nature of each of those, we went back to our liaisons at the city council, also with the city manager, to understand, you know, what can we do to deliver sooner than later. There are a number of leases coming up for negotiation in early next year, and so I had to scale back our work and put a lot of items on there. What we're looking at the moment is mostly focused on, is there short-term things that can help the city council, city manager, harbor director in lease negotiations, specifically around the policies. And so we're looking at the revenue that gets kicked out of each of the leases, and potentially simplifying that, and maybe taking away some of the levers that are there to negotiate, just because there's so much differences in the leases. I mean, overall, the numbers from the CFAC guys say that, you know, we're getting a pretty good fair market return on theirs, but if you look at each individual leases, some people contribute quite a bit, some people not so much, and so to try to equalize that to encourage better use of those properties. There's your update. Does that help?
Thank you. Very good. It sounds like you guys are doing some good
work.
Yeah,
we're actually, there will be another similar paper to one of these here. It's kind of very, very rough at the moment, and we're hoping to get it out into the harbor director and city manager's hands before the end of the year, and then negotiate that back. Unfortunately, because we don't have a January meeting, the timing isn't going to work out, so we're not necessarily going to see it here as a group, which is kind of like what happened with the COL. But the direction of the council was more, it's not a have deliverable, it's the ad hoc because of the joint nature of it. It's a little disappointing. I actually was excited to share it, but it just the timing doesn't work out. All right, let's see. Any other questions for the harbor director, Mary?
Sure, I have a list, and maybe we can take them just one by one. The first, when you mentioned the compensation for events and the expense that the harbor bears for those, have you kicked off event permit work for, like, event policies similar to how you might file with Parks and Rec to rent a park, or would we consider doing an event permit ad hoc committee? Like, would that be useful?
Good question. You know, events is not under our control, basically, how they operate. I do think there could be some additional procedures put in place that would help all of us ensure that each department is funded properly whenever there's an event. I mean, we have a fee schedule. It's pretty clear as to what our charges are going to be. I don't know if the Harbor Advisory Board would be the right group to do that, unless you're just referring to events at the harbor, I guess is what you're saying, as opposed to events overall in the city.
Yeah, I guess it's just, I know we have policies like for Parks and Rec, and you have to have insurance, pay fees to use the parks, to have a birthday party or something like that. And so I think maybe it would make sense to make a recommendation to City Council, maybe similar to the Lease Committee. Maybe it's the Harbor working together with Parks and Rec or a similar board to say, should we change our processes when events are going to impact the Harbor, and just provide recommendations?
So there are event meetings twice a month, and we do attend, and we make recommendations on permits, restrooms, like if they need porta potties, and we do bill our time for those events. This particular event was somehow presented as a city-sponsored event, and that's why we didn't charge them for, or no, but the city hadn't charged them for any labor vehicles. But normally we always charge a truck or a jet ski or a boat, depending on the event, and Harbor Patrol staff.
All right, thanks. The next question I had was regarding the Measure E list. I know it sounded like to me a lot of the items that Friends of the Harbor have been providing should be things that are clearly covered under Measure E and health and safety. Were those items we have requested, or have we recently put together a Measure E list, and have we not had health and safety items approved at the city level for those?
So I can't talk about past years. I can only talk about this year. We did make request of Measure E, and we were funded. The new truck that's going to arrive any day now was funded through Measure E. So we do make requests. I mean, Measure E is limited, again, just like everything else in the city and everything else in the harbor. So what Friends does is really a supplement. We can't get everything we need when we need it. And so, you know, thank you again to Friends to be able to kind of fill that need. We will continue to ask for resources through Measure E when we need them, but there's always going to be additional needs that we just are not going to be able to get. Because remember, police and fire are funded quite significantly through Measure E. Our lifeguard program and the summer trash program, you know, those are all funded through Measure E. So we do get, I think it's upwards of $250,000 per year, somewhere around there.
Okay, thanks. Just two more. One, I was wondering, with the DBW issues that we're having, is there someone that we would be able to escalate those to, like one of our representatives or something, in that, you know, we are the exact use case and we've been trying for years to go after this money, but the process is inefficient and it's wasting time and not working?
Thank you. Great question again. And that is certainly something on the plate that we intend to do. But in the meantime, we're not going to spend any more money until we know that we're going to get a return on it. Because even going through the process we're going through, there's no guarantee we'll be granted the funds or approved for the grant. So we want to be wise with any of that money that we spend. But, yeah, you're right. We can absolutely go through the state to make those requests, and we'll be meeting with the state soon regarding offshore wind, so that's another opportunity to mention to them on that. Thank you.
And then the last question I had was regarding the wind consultant. I was just curious of what the goals of that consultant would be. It also making sure that whoever we hire doesn't have a conflict of interest that might have goals that are not along the same line as ours, and then additionally, if we're planning to have a cap on how much we would spend on that consultant.
So, we definitely want to engage a company that is contracted with the city only, not having any other conflicts of interest with any of the offshore wind companies or any of the suppliers. That's definitely something we will be considering. How much money we need for that, you know, we're estimating right now to be about $500,000 a year to be able to support either a consulting firm and or some combination of staff to be able to help navigate us through that. And that's a multi-year process. We're not just asking for 1 year. We're asking for 8 to 10 years of funding to ensure that someone can help guide us. Again, we're not experts in that area. There's the offshore wind companies have done this over and over again. You know, we've never done it. So we need someone who's basically in our court fighting for us.
Thank you.
Chris, any questions?
I've got two. Dredging, you had your 14, the 2025 dredging, that's the bigger one. How much of the dredging does that, and does it include the back bay that Bill mentioned?
It has never gone that far.
Okay.
It goes past the boat ramp. I forget to what marker, but basically it goes past the boat ramp. Maybe someone knows that I don't.
Does it make it to the marina then?
No.
Even if it did, see, when they're going back there, they're dredging the channel. When they dredge back there, they're dredging the channel. They're not dredging the marina.
The
yes.
Flag.
And that, see, that's a totally separate issue. It's, it's a state-controlled property. Has nothing to, outside of residing in Morro Bay, it has nothing to do with Morro Bay in as far as the paperwork goes. I think I'm right there.
I'm going to step in here.
Yeah.
Normally, the dredge goes back to Channel Marker 16. And then off of, south of Channel Marker 16, there's a big bar, a sandbar, and it's maybe 3 feet deep at low tide. And that would be off of the A2 area. And so that area needs to get dredged out. And it's in the channel.
All right. Thank you. And I guess when you go back, I don't know if that makes, you know, if you get more than 14, if the rest of that is something that's grantable money. Second question was, and I think this had come up, I know with the new vessel, Harbor Patrol vessel, once it came back, the one that you were going to keep needs to have new stern drives or some other maintenance.
So we've replaced the stern drives on, what number is that vessel?
On 6-4?
6-4. We've replaced the stern drives on 6-4. The vessel that came back is what number, 6-9? 6-9. Mm-hmm. That vessel would need some additional maintenance work if it's going to remain in service. Right now it's going to be housed in our building and be available if necessary, but it's not going to be used on a regular basis. Pulled out of the water. I just had a conversation with Dana, who handles quite a bit of the maintenance and planning for the vessels, and we are going to need a 1 or 2 or 3 year plan to determine how we're going to handle that, either upgrade that one or figure out how to replace it.
But the 264, 69 will be
in,
they're all in good maintenance or working order.
Absolutely.
Now.
Correct.
Okay. Cool. That's the last of the questions I have. Going once, going twice, nothing else. All right. We'll move to item, do we have public comment on each of the items? Any public comment on the item, business item B1? AGP, is there anyone with their hand up on the phone?
Board member Myers, there's no hands raised in the queue.
Thank you, Anthony. Anybody in the audience? Nope. With that, we'll move to, let me flip back to my page, B2.
I've got some assistance back here. Actually, it's Hank on the microphone, just so you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Cal, I'd like to
say something.
Oh, go ahead.
Real quick, and I do apologize. And as I shared with you before, it for some reason it was my goal to dredge the Back Bay Marina, and I understand that the dynamics with the toxicity underneath the slips and the dealings with the state, and I know that they're, I've talked to Ted, that they're in closed session. I just would implore the city and you folks here, if you could do anything to try to keep the Back Bay Marina 118 slips into the control of the city, it would be, I think, beneficial, because once we lose that control, we'll probably never get it back. And there was some talk, if you remember, both Jeremiah and Gene, when we did do the Back Bay Channel, if we could actually take the sediment underneath the slips, combine it with the sediment in the channel, and it would meet the requirement so that we could actually offshore it into the regular outfall so that we wouldn't have to use dump trucks. And I think that before we do that, we should probably study that and see if that is feasible. I'd hate to lose that Back Bay Marina. And especially, it's just a quaint area, and it's just something that once you lose something, you'll never get it back. So I highly recommend some research on your part to see if that's even possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. All right, with that, we will move to the report from the ad hoc committee, item B2, about the commercial vessels. That was one that Chris, Mary, and myself worked on. I don't know, Mary, if you wanted to talk about it a little bit, or I can. Chris? All right, well, I will... I've been busy. All right, I'll start with that. The commercial vessel, we looked at a number of other similar size harbors, tried to get understanding of what they do for the larger vessels that come in. Again, the focus wasn't the commercial or the fishing vessels, but commercials, how they used our facility, what their methodology was for charging those other vessels. We'll talk about that first, and we'll jump into talk about that. So we talked to a number of other harbors around Noyo, Monterey, Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara, and pretty much what we found is that for the larger, the sort of sliding scale, the bigger the vessel, it got more and more expensive per foot. So instead of a dollar a foot, it was $2 a foot if you're above certain things. The one unique piece was that they also had multi-hull fees, which I think is interesting because those vessels are much wider. And that sort of captured the gist of that was to look at the vessels that are coming in that might be using our harbor that for the offshore wind, the survey vessels and whatnot. And so they had, a considerable more cost for that type of thing. They didn't distinguish by type of commercial use other than fishing. So whether you were a charter boat or offshore or sonar boat or anything like that, they had no real distinctions on that. So again, the recommendation was pretty straightforward, is to have a progressive fee as the boats get larger to use the presumably the T-piers. So, 50-foot vessel is, this price, but a one that's 51 feet, it gets more and more expensive. That seems pretty common across the harbors that we looked at. Let's see. The other one that was interesting, this is one that Mary found, there's a specific industry pieces. They, like the Santa Barbara, have the oil companies, and they unload and offload. There wasn't any specific charges for that, but they did regulate pretty heavily how they use that facility. So times of day, types of cargo permits, things like that, especially the oil industry, there may be some hazardous materials, pieces of that. I know, Mary, you talked to them if you wanted to elaborate a little more.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing from Santa Barbara was when sometimes people touch the pier to do crew swaps, it can be at odd hours especially and can be disruptive to the live aboard community. And so because of that, the feedback I heard was that they try to discourage that in the harbor and maintain Santa Barbara as a recreational harbor in order to protect the feeling of a recreational harbor, not disturb live aboards, and so they charge for touching the pier to do crew swaps for those items or for those use cases.
Pretty short report. Any questions on that?
I do have a question. Thank you. Was there any fees that you were able to identify regarding large vessels? Like you say in your report here, you know, charge 50 to 100% progressive rate structure. Over what rates? And
I didn't pull the specific rates, although I have links to those or can provide that. There was varying fees, but the larger the vessel got, the more expensive per foot went up. Mm-hmm. And usually the cutoffs were typically in the 40 to 50 foot, so that was kind of the smaller vessels. Some even had a cutoff at 26. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a minimum. If you were 1 to 26 feet, it was one cost, and then 26 to 29, it was more. And again, it got just progressively more expensive.
Yeah, we can follow up with that. I just pulled up Santa Barbara's real quick. For example, a 20-foot slip would be at $9.50 per foot, whereas a 100-foot slip would be at almost $20 per foot. So I'm happy to follow up with you offline with that.
Yeah, we didn't because of the differences in the harbor, what you charge per foot and what they charge in foot, it was hard to compare. I just didn't have the knowledge of that. Mm-hmm. But to look what you have today and then multi-hull and anything over say 50 feet should be substantially more expensive,
right?
I put the picture of the San Salvador here. I should have put that one luxury yacht, but I chose not to. Right. But that ship should be paying three or four times more than the little smaller ones that are there.
Thank you for the work that you've done on that, and any details that you have would be appreciated. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I ended up with links to all of the different harbors and how much they charge. It was pretty interesting. Question, Gene, Jeremiah?
No, I didn't have a question, but I just wanted to mention Santa Barbara has only one place generally to do any work as far as loading and unloading and everything is just the single dock. Yeah. So that in order to have, there's a lot of people vying for the use of that single dock. So the fishermen need it to unload and oil companies need it for
just really
stuff, dive companies. So adjusting the time frames is necessary for almost everything there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what made it hard is each harbor had unique constraints and number of slips and whatnot.
I'm not sure, but I think you're talking about commercial vessels, and I do not believe that a barge is considered a vessel.
Okay.
They don't require CF numbers, and most of them are not documented. So you might want to include barges or something like that.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't, that distinction was lost on me. Thank you. And we don't want them sitting in the harbor for years on end. Thank you. Therese?
So I would like, if you guys wanted to continue some more work on it, a graph of sorts, showing the ones that you pulled, and even if there's more that you pulled, if you find the time to get some more that you pulled, and just, a graph that shows, different colors. I think that Morro Bay is extremely low as far as costs, and the more that us as an advisory board can present that this is not out of the norm, and so we can get a middle ground price range that's dollars. Reasonable, or at least try and incrementally over the years so we don't overwhelm some of the local people that are used to certain things. I don't like anything to just jump 100% or anything like that, but at least show how, hey, this is where Morro Bay is. And we can even say, hey, look, this is how Morro Bay is. Come here. This is the price right now. Come here and enjoy it before you do it. It could be substantial money that could be validated by why it is that we're changing, and of course keeping commercial fishermen at the rate. That's a separate issue altogether.
Pretty much every harbor we spoke to had a distinct fee structure for fishing. No other industry, but just fishing for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, I do have a sort of a process question. If we wanted to enhance this document, would it just show up and we, how does, I don't, we've never been in that situation before.
I don't know either, but I don't think we've terminated the ad hoc
point.
So until you have a final, you have more information that you can add to it.
Sure.
Great.
Okay. All right. That answers that question. All right, that, the public, oh, my two left, the audience members left. Any comments from the audience? Sure, go ahead.
So regarding the uses, if other harbors don't have a distinction between, like they just have fishing use, commercial fishing uses, it, does that mean that you can't do that for other uses such as offshore wind stuff? So it's just that no one else does do that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we should be able to determine what kind of rates we want to charge for different services. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank you. All right. AGP, for thoroughness' sake, is there any raised hands in the queue?
Hey, Board Member Myers, there are no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Thank you. With that, we'll move on to agenda item B3, which is the liability study. So that is another report that a few of us here did. I'll probably end up speaking to it unless there's some volunteers. So this particular ad hoc, I looked at the liability, so from two different facets. The first piece of it, I think one of the public mentioned it, was sort of using the harbor, jumping off the piers, also swimming in the piers. This became apparent that there's no rules or regulations about that. There is an opportunity for injury, potentially, and this was really brought up, and that's why the picture of the triathlon is there, because that was really what brought that light to the harbor director. So in that regard, the ad hoc committee spoke to the harbor master, Becca, also to the city clerk, asked if there had been any liability issues, anybody getting injured. Both of those have been here for up to about 10-ish years. And there had been no reports of any injuries or any lawsuits, at least that have been reported. Also spoke to a number of other harbors, primarily Noyo Harbor, which is up by Fort Bragg, Santa Cruz and Monterey. Noyo Harbor was very similar in structure to us. They had no rules in place for jumping a harbor, but it's also not very attractive to do, not like jumping off the pier at the beach where you can swim ashore and, you know, sort of a passage of rights. They didn't have any policies on that. And again, very similar structure. There's no reason to jump off the pier to get to something. You would do it for a circular thrill, and again, it hadn't been an issue for them. Monterey and Santa Cruz, it was very interesting. Both of those harbor departments are run by the sheriff's organizations. So they're primarily law enforcement agencies. I don't know all the subtleties, but they're sworn officers. They carry sidearms. And they're very strict on enforcement. And both those harbors are much more busier than Morro Bay. There is also a lot of really good reasons to jump off the pier for surfing and whatnot. So they actually have a number of issues with that, with people getting injured, and actively enforce that. So they have a ton of signs up. People tear them down. They put them back up. And so they did actively enforce it. But they've also had a number of lawsuits and injuries over that. So, you know, always when you see a sign against something, it always means that something happened, right? And so that was why we came across, left it as an issue of not recommending that, that we pursue that at this point. There is some cost associated with enforcing it, putting up the signs, you know, like painting the curbs, just like anything else. And it's, you know, addressing a problem that we just don't have at the moment. So that was the conclusion that we came up with for that portion of the study. Questions, comments? I mean, there was always some informal pieces, like just like the audiences, you know, why are we out, you know, why are we turning it down or outlawing it, so to speak. Any questions on that piece of it? Comments?
Well, you're not up.
Yeah, we're not recommending that we, you know.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
I'm going to sneeze. Okay. I just wanted to say that as our bay changes with the tides, I see a real movement towards more recreational use of our bay, and we have such a bountiful bird population and marine aquatic population that really getting your feet wet in our bay is an amazing thing that we're able to do. And so to take that away or to put signs that say that you can't do it is not something that I would be for. I'm definitely for people not hurting themselves, and that's really important. I think that as we evolve in as far as a bay goes, that hopefully it will be a more user-friendly for a kayak and a dragon boat and surfers walking across. What do we have out there? Little boats with giant tires that are little push buggies with giant tires out there that I haven't seen. We have a lot of smaller crafts going on in here that I think are easier to navigate with personal use of our bay. So I'm glad that you went that route.
Any other questions, comments? The other piece of the liability issue or study was about liability insurance for the vessels that are there. It was actually pretty interesting. A lot of the vessels actually already, they're self-insured. There's a process in place today to collect the insurance information for the people that have the slips. Dana does that. It's not mandatory. The one interesting piece, when I talked to the different harbors, Noyo in particular, they actually had a fee that if you didn't provide proof of insurance, that they would tack on a couple hundred bucks annually to your slip fee. They actually rescinded that after about a year, in that one individual came up and said, well, I'm paying you extra money, so therefore you're insuring me. And, you know, reasonable person, it says, you know, insurance is on your bill, and so you assumed your insurance. So they ended up, they still require insurance, but they didn't try to charge extra for it. I did talk to the city clerk, Dana, you know, would it be possible to have the city as an insurer of last resort? And she didn't think that would be possible. We did, or actually the harbor director found that, you know, insuring sort of a typical personal vessel isn't that expensive through, you know, Progressive or whatnot. The liveaboards have a little bit bigger, different issue insuring it because it's, you know, it's not part of their homeowners piece of it, although we didn't go down that path too far to find out. But, you know, generally speaking, I think it would be good to have some sort of liability insurance for every boat, every vessel that's moored here. That was kind of where we ended up. I don't know, Chris, you had a few more comments, maybe?
Liability insurance typically has been impossible to purchase without hull insurance. Very difficult, at least. But with the advent of the auto industry messing around in the boating industry, which your big yachts, that's a nuisance to them because the auto industry is not effective with marine stuff. But some of those automobile companies can provide liability insurance. So that is an avenue worth exploring. And the idea that if every boat in the harbor had some form of liability insurance, then that covers some of the costs for boat removal or, you know, wreckage removal or any of that other sort of stuff that we have experience with. There's no money there. Or there should.
Yeah, some of the ports, and I believe Newport, Oregon is one that if you do not have insurance, they add, and now I'm not talking about boats that live there. I'm talking about boats that are transient, and they have an extra fee. And they, we were to understand that they had the insurance. So now you paid the $10 and it went into a pool that paid for the insurance to cover this issue. Now, one of the problems I was going to mention here with all of that is some boats are not insurable. So you got a boat that comes into your two or three boats. Say this during the salmon season. We've had times here, not for 20 years or so, but, well, no, that's not true, but we've 5 years ago. There was probably like 30 boats come into the harbor because we had salmon here. So these are transient boats, and I don't know the number, but say 10 of them don't have insurance. What are you going to do with them? You know, they need a place to stay. They need to get fuel. They need to get groceries. So that's a really good option. But a lot of boats, particularly the old wood boats, just are not insurable. No one's going to insure those.
So if I can maybe talk a little bit about those issues. I mean, typically, insurance liability is available for pretty much any vessel. It has to do in whether you're going to insure the hull or not, and that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for a comprehensive policy. We'd be looking for a liability policy that protects the harbor for issues that they might damage a dock, they might run over a swimmer. Sorry, I had to hit it. If they were to have a spill and that created a fine for the harbor, which, as you know, it can be up to $1 million. So it's strictly liability insurance, and it's not hull insurance at all. And I get it. Wooden boats are typically today, boats that were built, you know, 35 years ago will have a lot of difficulty, even if they're fiberglass, getting hull insurance. But we're talking about minimum liability insurance. And I hadn't thought about these commercial fishing vessels. Are they not a member? Like the Morro Bay Commercial Fishing Organization basically provides a generic policy for all members, correct?
No, Ted. No, we have no policies, insurance policies for the membership of any kind.
At one point, Jeremiah, you spoke of a self-insurance pool.
Yes, now wait a minute. Okay. There is an insurance pool. As a matter of fact, I retired from it 2 years ago.
Okay.
That pool was one of the founders of the pool was our very first president of the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization here in town, Sandy Monroe, and he was one of the founders of the pool. The pool is located in Seattle now, mm-hmm. and there's many pools. So that's one pool. They're very particular about insurance. So with all of the pools, their old saying was when I joined initially, it was they don't insure your boat, they insure you. And it was you had to have some pretty good references, and you still do, to get into the pool mm-hmm. and so forth. So they do not insure. Long and the short of it is they do not insure all commercial boats, and they will not insure all commercial boats.
I understand that they would not, let's say, necessarily insure your vessel for damage, but would they be insure the liability portion? Like if you were to damage another person's property. Is that what they're covering?
We have insurance for that, but that's another pool. So you have to belong to the hull and machinery pool to get insurance in the liability pool. And that's a different pool, so the hull and machinery insurance is through United.
That's okay.
United Trawlers is the liability pool.
Right. But being a member of the organization gets you in the pool, is it?
No.
No. You have to pay separately to be in the pool?
You have to have recommendations of other pool members.
Yeah.
And so forth, yes. Okay. So there is no pool that I know of that insures people in an area or anything like that. It's like all insurance, it's specific. It's specific to the person and your background. It's specific to the boat and its condition.
Well, I think, at this point, I will accept the recommendations. I do want to have more conversations. We're not doing anything at this point with the recommendations, and I think more needs to be determined. But I would like to get with you and learn more about the pool and how that.
Sure. Yeah, I can tell you that pools, as far as this type of situation goes, are definitely not a place to look. I mean, they are not going to insure or talk to anybody that doesn't have a good, strong, healthy boat and background, and it's the way it is, and that's the pools are very, very set. We have some, in our harbor here, we have some directors of the pool. Bob Mahary, is currently a director of the pool. Craig Barbary was, Wayne Moody was. So that it would be probably good to get up and get more technical data. But I wonder if it is just a liability thing like that, Ted, that if the harbor could get a policy through the city or wherever your insurance comes from, and pay for that policy by charging people without insurance some sort of an additional fee for insurance and adding 25% for clerical work or what have you, if it would be possible.
That can be looked at. I don't know if that would be an option. I think Dana was already kind of pretty much saying
that. I reached out to Dana. She did a little bit of initial research for it. She wasn't sure of it. And that time, our working assumption was the fishing industry was here in Morro Bay was covered. If that's not the case, then we would have to revisit that for sure.
So, Jeremiah, can I ask you, when I know you sold your vessel, but when you had your vessel, did you have liability insurance on your vessel?
Yes. So I belonged to two pools, and it was necessary to be totally insured to have the – so I belonged to the hull and machinery pool and then the liability pool, both. And we did have pollution insurance, but we had to get the – they don't do a pollution insurance in the pools.
Right.
So we had to get pollution insurance, and that – having the pool insurance was also a conditional thing because you had to have the pollution insurance to get the pool insurance also. So we got that separately through a commercial broker.
And would you say the majority of vessels in the harbor now that are actively commercial fishing have insurance or not?
I would say probably they do, yes.
Okay. I think maybe offline I can discuss more.
Yeah, I think probably most of our guys have insurance now. But as I mentioned earlier about the situations where fleets are coming in and other boats are coming in, then a lot of those boats don't have insurance. And our boats that we have here in the harbor now are all in pretty good shape with good skippers. And they have crews. And if you don't have insurance and you have a crew, you're in trouble.
Transients were always going to be an issue because, you know, whether you have your proof of insurance or whatever. But.
And some harbors that I'm aware of will start with their existing slip renters and transient. Can still come into your harbor without insurance, and at some point in time, they then, you know, make that requirement also. But, I mean, there's still a lot more details, I think, that need to be determined here. We're not taking any action until we find out a little bit more. But I appreciate the work that you've done on this, and I'll probably take it offline to commercial fishing and try to get more information.
Yeah, I don't want to be the guy that puts another nail in that.
Cal, I had a couple questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Sure. Was there a size limit that you talked about? Any boat over 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet? Have you even got that far into it?
For the
vessel insurance or liability insurance?
No, I did not do any.
We eliminated any boats that are launched in the bay and day-to-day type things. That's correct.
Yeah, the focus was primarily on the slip holders. The transients become problematic because you don't have a touch point with them. You know, the guy that uses the boat ramp, you never talk to him.
Yeah, and then you mentioned, I think in the report, transient in there for more than 30 days. Is that correct?
I did not address the transient.
Oh, I thought I saw a date of 30 days.
We mostly focused on the people that have long-term slips here was the primary focus. The more transient pieces, you know, is just problematic just because of the, you know, they're in and out. And I didn't think about the 30-day one.
Sure. And then they may get stuck here for, you know, 60 days or something like that. Yeah. Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So my question is on the T-piers and docks that are owned by the City of Morro Bay, you guys have liability insurance on those, correct?
You mean does the city have liability insurance? Yes, the city has liability insurance on all properties.
Okay, so somebody slips, whether they came off of a boat or they're going onto a boat or they're just walking there, no matter what, if somebody hurts themselves on those, City of Morro Bay is covered. So I would say because of what you encountered with people thinking that they were insured while they were docked there, just make sure that when you figure out how much you're going to charge for that boat, think about the costs that it is for insurance on that and not necessarily label it as insurance to not confuse them, but when you configure what's a reasonable price cost analysis of that?
Yeah, I don't think our intention would be to add a price for insurance and create that potential understanding that they're insured. That's not something we would be looking to do at all. The fact that the harbor and the city is insured, you know, just recognize that, you know, $1 million death lawsuit is going to have an impact even though we're insured. There's going to be the potential for higher fees, cancellation, and it's, you know, eventually going to come back to the harbor and city.
I was talking to Chris Neumeier about this, our city attorney. There was to sue the city, this came in the context of like tripping over a sidewalk. There's a pretty high bar to sue the city over, you know, something that you should have known better. You know, tripping over, you know, a sidewalk or something, unless there's a real hazard about it. And that's why you always see cones around stuff and things along that, sidewalk painted pink. So, but clarified anything or made it more confusing?
No, it clarified it. I'm just, we have two different ad hoc things, and one of the last ad hoc was talking about how much is a reasonable rate to charge and what are other people doing. This is just another part of the costs that go into having a vessel parked there that should be part of the calculation, but not necessarily blurred out there to be misunderstood. So that's just my two cents.
All right. Thank you.
that. Is there any more questions, comments on the last item? Open it up to public comment. AGP, is there anybody with their hand raised?
Hey, board member Myers, there are no hands raised in the queue.
Thank you for that, sir. With that, we'll move on to declaration of future agenda items. Just as a reminder, we are not meeting in January, so our next meeting will be in February, first Thursday of the month in February. Any future agenda items?
I would like to request that we revive the parking ad hoc committee for February. So I know that there's been movement on it, but that ad hoc hasn't started up again. So Ted?
I'm not certain of the entire process. I believe that might need, because that's more than a harbor issue, that would probably need to be council directed.
I think possibly it might be within bounds, though, to you for you to request from City Council that, given the impact on of the harbor from the potential paid parking proposal, to like receive consultation from an ad hoc committee on the HAB, and then if they're aligned with that, potentially.
What I will address with City Manager and determine a path.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Any other future agenda
items? Just to put my two cents worth in, we spent a long time as an ad hoc discussing parking from one end of the town to the other. The commercial boys, the recreational boys, the live aboard boys, the girls, everybody. Everybody has an opinion. And so there's a whole bunch of homework that you could resell, because we never actually issued a report.
And it didn't include the rock either, so there's that element to it. Any other future agenda items that we'd like to see at this point? I don't know. Yes, go ahead, Gene.
So I'm going to jump in off of my comments this morning earlier. It's not too late to go out and maintain your boats right now. Now's the time to do it when it's nice and calm. I do not want to have anybody call me up, or the harbor call me up, or somebody call the harbor department at 3 in the morning and say, hey, I think my pennant lines are broken, or can you go fix my dock lines? Just get it done now.
All right. Thank you, Gene. And with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn. But before we do that, special call out to Lori for getting caught up on all the minutes from last time. I appreciate that. I know it's a lot of work, and thank you. All right. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you. Thanks, AGB.